Hi, and thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. I always do this wherever you're finding me. I keep even finding me in places I didn't know I was in a number of podcasts. So if you're getting me on Spotify or Apple or wherever, thanks for tuning in. For those of you that get me live, like in Alpine, Texas, for instance, by all means, let me know sometime. It's natureapproved@yahoo.com. Natureapproved@yahoo. Let's start with some not such good news, but news I think we all should be aware of. The headlines I found say 69% average decline in wildlife populations since 1970. This is a new report that just came out. I just got it, and it came out October, well, right away, this month, the last 2 days, from the World Wildlife Fund. As a little background, I even got a grant from the World Wildlife Fund many, many years ago to go make a trip to Galapagos, Ecuador. I was in kind of running around trying to save the sea turtles. I believe in them. They don't have any axe to grind. There's no politics involved here. Wildlife populations in Latin America and the Caribbean are plummeting at a staggering rate of about 94% of the freshwater species populations. And they have suffered an 83% fall. So over 90% of them are suffering 83% fall in population. The report's Living Planet Index shows that there is no time to lose in securing a nature-positive society, and we've got to all work on it. This particular report was issued October 12th, just a few days ago, came out of Washington, D.C., is where I found it. Monitored populations of vertebrates, mammals, birds, amphibians, reptiles, and fish have seen a devastating 69% drop on average since 1970 worldwide. Get that in order now. According to the World Wildlife Fund, the report identifies several key drivers of biodiversity decline, including, number one, almost always, habitat loss, species overexploitation, we can talk about that, invasive species becoming a real problem in some places, pollution itself, climate change, and of course, with climate change came an increase in a number of diseases. There's also calls on policymakers to transform economies so that the natural resources are more properly valued, and they, and especially in the third world, folks, that's just not happening. As biodiversity loss and climate change share many of the same underlying causes, actions that transform food production and consumption rapidly cut emissions and invest in conservation can help us mitigate these twin crises. Folks, the world is finally waking up to the fact that our future depends on reversing the loss of nature at least as much as it depends on addressing climate change itself. And you can't solve one without the other. There's no doubt. Everyone has a role to play in reversing these trends, or whoever you are, you're one of them, from individuals to companies to worldwide governments. These plunges in wildlife population can have really dire consequences for our health and our economies. When wildlife populations decline to this degree, it means dramatic changes are impacting their habitats and the food and water they rely on. We should care deeply about the unraveling of natural systems because these same resources are what sustain us folks, human life, here on this little planet that we have. World leaders will meet at the 5th Conference of Parties to the Convention of Biological Diversity, I won't do that again, in December of this year for a once every 10 years, once in a decade opportunity to course correct for the sake of people and the planet. The U.S. government can help ensure that it's called COP, COP15, this one is, it's the 15th, and the emerging 2030 Global Diversity Framework are successful through its diplomatic engagement and by bringing new resources to the table to help developing countries protect their biodiversity. Here in the U.S., Congress should finalize this year's funding bills with significant increases for global conservation programs. Doing so would empower the federal government to drive greater progress in conserving and restoring nature and sends a signal to other countries that it expects other actors, the other countries, to do the same thing. Here, let's talk a minute about what's called the Living Planet Index. It's provided by the Zoological Society of London, ZSL, and is an early warning indicator of the health of our nature. This year's edition analyzes more than 32,000 species populations, with more than 838 new species and just over 11,000 new populations added just since the 2020 edition 2 years ago. It provides a comprehensive measure of how wildlife is responding to environmental pressures driven by biodiversity loss and climate change. Yes, folks, climate change is here. Those that never believed it, get your head out of the sand. While also allowing us to better understand the impact of people on Earth's entire biodiversity. As an indicator, for instance, some of the species captured in the Living Planet Index include, for instance, the Amazon pink river dolphin, which saw populations plummet by 65% between years 1994 and 2016. And to add to it, the eastern lowland gorilla, whose numbers saw an estimated 80% decline in the national park with the last stronghold they've got since from 1994 to 2019. And South and Western Australia's sea lion cubs, which plunged by two-thirds, but just between the years 1977 and 2019. Folks, that's a lot of animals. The Living Planet Report 2022 emphasizes that recognizing and respecting the rights, governance, and conservation leadership of indigenous peoples and local communities is imperative. We're learning this more than ever, folks, to delivering a nature-positive future. Flor Delicia Ramos Barba said she's felt the loss of nature just in her little area of the world where she lives outside of Santa Cruz, Bolivia, in very short terms. The quote, "The roar of the jaguar could be heard near the community all the time until 3 years ago, but not anymore." To quote her, "Compared with my childhood, I've witnessed a big difference. The animals in the community are now gone. We also can feel the lack in our nearby rivers. The people used to go fishing here to support their families, but now there's just generally no fish. And the number of losses of tree-dwelling species has just basically, as far as she's concerned, all but disappeared. As a community, we have become aware of the difficulties that come our way year after year. The conservation of our territory is important to us." And folks, even though you and I don't live in Bolivia, it's important to us too. And we've got to start taking this concept in worldwide, not just because it's not at our doorstep. I do want to mention this since I was lucky enough to get a grant from the World Wildlife Fund many years ago. The World Wildlife Fund is one of the world's leading conservation organizations. They work in about 100 different countries for this last half century. They gave me my grant about half a century ago. I'm 70-some years old. I was in my late teens or early 20s to help with people and to help nature around the world thrive. With the support of more than 5 million members worldwide, which I'm one, World Wildlife Fund is dedicated to delivering science-based solutions to preserve the biodiversity and abundance of life on Earth, to help halt the degradation of the environment and combat climate crisis. Folks, you can visit www.worldwildlife.org if you want to learn more about it or give them. I'm not on a soapbox here trying to sell them. But by all means, if nothing else, just go to WWF News on Twitter and it'll keep you up with all the latest projects they are working on, and there's a bunch of them. So World Wildlife Fund is one of the good guys. Let's change the subject here a minute. It's kind of at the end of that for now, but I do want to mention something that I just found from, of all places, Toronto, Ontario. There's a company now called Datametrics, and they've just released a whole new system initially in Canada. It's quote unquote the ultimate solution to what we call range anxiety for people that want to drive EV cars. It's a 445 kilowatt hour emergency vehicle, of which this is their testing, is testing in Toronto, but there'll be tens of thousands of them. And if you run out of, you know, we always were run out of gas all of this life. Now we, some of us, especially those, are worried about running out of electricity in our cars. This thing will get you back on the road about as quick as if you call, let's say you ran out of gas and you had to call a wrecker and get them to bring you gas. Well, in about 20 more minutes than it takes for this guy to get to your place and fill your car up with gas and charge you, this vehicle will get you back on the road and get you to a full charging station. Or if you want to give them about 30 minutes at this high speed rate, you have a full car again. So it's not much different than running out of gas, except you're going to run out of electricity. Or if you do, again, it's your fault. These cars are far more accurate about how far they'll go on the meter that you see than cars ever were with gasoline. So yes, this is a new thing. We're not using them here in the States yet. They say it's going to be about 2024 before we start getting them. But we are going to electricity, folks, and we're going faster than I thought we could. But we're going slower than I thought we should 20 years ago. But we are going to get there. We've got to. There's no gray about it. It's going to take longer. The people that are kind of say no, the no-nos about, it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. It has to happen. Yeah, couldn't we wait 50 years if we had to and suck all the petroleum-based energies, fossil fuels that we can from this entire earth? Probably shouldn't wait that long, folks. We need to hybridize it. We need to move into it. It's not going to happen overnight. And if people have listened to the show for years, 20 years, I've always said that. It is going to be gradual. It's going to get stepped up if we keep going to get gasoline that's going to start going up to, you know, I understand they're paying almost $8 a gallon a week or two ago in California in certain places. That's got to change. But in the meantime, the hybridization, hybrid cars, in-between cars, people that like me don't go 250 miles at any given trip, on any normally, can use the cars perfectly well. My answer is, especially if they get down in price, soon they will be on parity, is the word they use, or some of them either cheaper than a basic gasoline car. Why not get one? You're going to take a trip once a year till we get this problem solved? Then you rent a car, if that's what you want to do. In between, I'd say right now, you get my kids have a Ford Maverick hybrid. They're getting over 60 miles to the gallon on average. And if they want to go more than 70 or 80 miles, which they don't usually, they hardly ever use gas, then the truck switches over to gasoline. So maybe for the next interim for 6 or 8 or 10 years, yes, maybe we should do hybrids for those of you that have doubts or have to go very far. Anyway, my food for thought. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.